"Follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fish for people." Amen. Good morning, good people of grace. Claudette Colvin, Rosa Parks, Jonathan Daniels, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Dietrich Bonhoeffer, John Lewis, Nelson Mandela, Malala Yousafzai, Simon, Andrew, Peter, James, and John. What do each of these people have in common? Before becoming people with names most would recognize without much explanation, they were each of them simply doing their jobs: fishing, preaching, teaching, studying, cleaning houses. What they all have in common is that they were each of them called up out of their regular lives by a voice saying, "Follow me." What they all have in common is that, in fact, they heard the voice calling, "Follow me," and then they followed. Before Martin Luther King Jr. became an iconic civil rights leader, he was a 26-year-old preacher in a church in Alabama. He had hopes of someday becoming a college professor. But on one typical day, he let a group use his church basement to organize a rally. And then, because he was present and he was willing, he was chosen to give a speech at the rally for the Montgomery Improvement Association. He had 20 minutes to prepare his speech, and in his autobiography, it says he wasted 5 minutes of it having a panic attack. But with just a few notes on a piece of paper, he gave that speech, and then he spent the next years of his life listening to the voice of Jesus, who said that night, "Follow me." Jonathan Daniels was a student at Episcopal Divinity School in Cambridge, Massachusetts. He was studying to be a priest. Those times were difficult, and Daniels saw the violence in the South rising through reports on the news. And he heard a voice saying, "Follow me." So he packed his bags and left for Alabama to support the Freedom Riders. He never came home. Instead, he used his body to block a bullet meant for a young black girl, 11-year-old Ruby Sales. A bullet sent out from the gun of a deputy because Daniels was trying to buy her a Coca-Cola in a local market. Jonathan Daniels was just a student, but he heard a voice saying, "Follow me," and he left everything and followed Jesus. Malala was only 10 years old when the Taliban took control of her region. They said music was a crime. They said women weren't allowed to go out of their home. They said girls could not be educated. But in her autobiography, it says Malala believed in her freedom and stood up for her rights. She heard a voice saying, "Follow me." And now, having lived through great violence, she is the youngest ever recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize. Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of people." Andrew, Simon, James, and John, they were just fishing or mending their fishing nets. They were just doing their jobs. There they were, being fishermen with their families in their hometowns, and then immediately called out to them saying, "Follow me." What do they all have in common? They all heard his voice, and they all followed him. They all just laid down their nets and followed Jesus. What in the world could make a person feel so passionately that they would drop all that is familiar, all that defines them, all that currently provides them with a sense of security in order to do this new thing? Claudette Colvin, Rosa Parks, Jonathan Daniels, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, John Lewis, Nelson Mandela, Simon, Andrew, James, and John. These faithful people, while generations and worlds apart, all of them lived in times and in conditions in which there was an undeniable sense of urgency for liberation. And they all heard a voice calling them into that work. Not the work that they expected, not the work that they had been trained for, not the work that they imagined, but the work that the urgent moment in their God called them into. I will make you fishers of people. One might expect that all of these people who heard the voice of their God calling them into the work were simply exceptional people of faith. But what I sense is that before exceptional faith, there's something else, something that is the foundation of that faith, a quality of a person that can allow them to take such an incredible, faithful action. Now, we don't know much about James and John, Simon and Andrew, other than that they were simply doing their jobs when Jesus called them out of their boats and into faithful action. We don't know if they were people of great faith before, but we do know this. Each of them and our modern day examples were people living in times of great uncertainty, times of injustice and oppression, whether from the Roman Empire, the Nazi regime, apartheid, the Taliban, or systemic segregation. Each of these common people were a weight to how their communities were being exploited and persecuted. And each of them felt deep in their bones the urgency for liberation. And that urgency and their God called them each out of their boats to follow Jesus. Many of you will recall the first sermon I ever gave here at Grace. In that sermon, I reflected with you about Peter and his willingness to get out of his boat and follow Jesus walking on the water. That story, too, is a story of faith. Yes, but also a story of the urgency of liberation and the willingness to follow Jesus. I asked you then to consider the gravitational pull of Jesus, that gravitational pull of Jesus that is so strong we can't resist it, the gravitational pull that got Peter out of his boat, the gravitational pull that got Simon and Andrew and James and John to put down their nets and follow Jesus. That pull I suggested then and affirm now is the gravitational pull of the love of God. Peter, James, John, Simon, and Andrew could have all stayed in their boats. They could have all remained in the expected, comfortable, familiar realities in which they found themselves. But each of them saw clearly the deeper reality of their communities and the urgent need for liberation. And they each heard the call and were willing to leave their boats to follow Jesus. Yes, because of the urgent need for liberation and their faith, but the foundation of their faith and willingness to follow was love. Love is that gravitational pull that makes the urgent need for liberation personal and irresistible. Love is what opens our hearts and our minds to imagine ourselves as having agency in the struggle and power in the moment. Love is what allows us to hear the voice of Jesus and respond by following him, even into dangerous and sacrificial action. Jonathan Daniels, when he heard the call to follow Jesus to the segregated South, had no idea what awaited him. He had no idea what love was calling him into. But he stepped in front of a bullet heading toward that 11-year-old child, and there is no explanation for that action. No other way to understand that choice but to see that Jonathan Daniels was a man who felt great love. Nelson Mandela had no idea that when he became the leader of South Africa's Freedom Party, that he would spend 27 years of his life in prison for speaking truth to power. And there is no way, no explanation for his actions, no way to understand his choice, but to see that Nelson Mandela was a man who felt great love. Simon, Andrew, John, and James, they had no idea what awaited them as they left their boats and their nets lying on the ground and followed Jesus. How could they? But leave they did. Follow him they did into a life of self-denial and sacrificial living. And there is no explanation for their actions, no way to understand their choice, except to see that they were, each of them, men who felt great love. Claudette Colvin, Rosa Parks, Jonathan Daniels, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, John Lewis, Nelson Mandela, Malala, Simon, Andrew, Peter, James, and John. So what do we have in common with these people of faithful action? We, like them, are people doing our jobs, living our lives, capable of feeling great love. So yes, to step out of our boats, grace is a faithful action. But the foundation of that faith is to be people who feel great love. There is no explanation, no way to understand, because to follow Jesus is not a cognitive choice. To follow Jesus is not a critical, heady discernment. To follow Jesus is an act of people who feel a great love. Love of self, of neighbor, of God, love that lifts us above and pulls us out of the comfortable, familiar, predictable vocation and private life that we expect to live. So friends, I asked you in my first sermon, and God is inviting us in this scripture to ask it again, grace, will you get out of the boat with me? Because I sense a world in urgent need of liberation, and I feel a great love holding us together on this hill in North Asheville. And even from here, on this little hill, from this place of perhaps seemingly little consequence, I can hear his voice, and I hear him saying, follow me and I will make you fishers of people. Where will we be led and what will we become when we follow Jesus? How could we know? We can't. Because the way before us is always unexpected, always unpredictable, always a risk. But the way before us has been paved by people of great faith, and we will walk it together. Together, we will get out of the boat and follow Jesus. We, a people who feel great love. Amen.